that was good this morning, right? Speaking of the truth and love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We are the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to John 15. John 15, that'll be our chapter for a while. Have some verses in there. Let's start in chapter 15 of John. And we're going to start in verse 1 and we'll read down a ways. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you accept, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. So, the first verse is, you know, Jesus is the vine, the true vine. And the Father is the one that prunes that vine. There are three conditions in bearing fruit. The first one is cleansing. The second one is abiding. And the third one is obedience or yielding. So the first condition we're going to look at is cleansing. And I'm going to turn to Psalms 51. And you can just follow along or listen. It doesn't matter. Read along if you like. Psalms 51. Of course, we know this is a psalm written of David. When Nathan came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba and sinned. David starts out, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, and thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and sin, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Here's the verse. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. And that's where we'll stop right there. So, we see that in this verse 7 here, that we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus, of the guilt of our sin, by the blood of Jesus. We accept Jesus as our Savior, of course. It's important to know. He says here, I shall be clean. Hyssop, let's see. Said hyssop was a little shrub with which the blood and water of purification were applied. So this has a special significance here. It speaks of the blood of Jesus. And only by that blood can we be clean. I mean, everybody knows that, right? But it's a lot more than that, and we're going to get further into this as we go along. And next we're going to go to Hebrews, kind of a long way to go, but bear with me. I'll try to get this. Hebrews 1. There's a few verses here, not a whole bunch, but a few we're going to look at. Hebrews 1, verse 3. Yeah, we'll just start in verse 1. A God who at sundry times in divers manners spake in time past unto fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, and sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Let's go to Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9, I'm just going to read one verse here. Well, I'll start in verse 11. But Christ being come on high, come in high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, but the verse we want here, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered into once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us, once for all, yes. By the blood of Jesus. So we've accepted Jesus, and we're cleansed by the blood of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. But you know, even though that has happened, and you know, when you first get saved, that's a wonderful thing, and it's necessary to be saved. You gotta have, that's the first step, accepting Jesus. You are washed in his blood, but we also need constant cleansing each day. Each day as we walk here, each hour, each minute, I don't know, all the time, I'd say. Because the defilement of sin is constant. It's everywhere. It's in our world today. It's in people we come in contact with, everything. Tom said this morning, Satan's in your ear whispering all these things, trying to make you doubt. But it's very important. The only way there's only one way to stay in this. And the truth is in the Word, period. Stay in the Word. Don't listen to that other voice of guilt and sin and that you're not worthy to accept Jesus as your Savior. We weren't worthy, but because we accepted Jesus, we are worthy now. I think it's very important to believe constantly and stay in the Word. You know, people say they're believers, and there's a lot of believers in the world. I wouldn't know how many, but so many get drawn astray from many things today, idols of all kinds, you know, different things go on. And we get tossed to and fro like children because we forget to stay in the Word and stay with our Lord. Fellowship with our Lord continually. That's what we want. John 13:10 says this. Behold, Peter saith unto him in verse 8, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Right? Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. You're not all clean because we need to be washed every day. We're going to read on later on how you stay washed every day and how you stay clean every day. It's by the word of God, fellowship with our Lord, abide in him, he abides in you. It's very important. Let's go to Ephesians 5. When Earlene did this John chapter in the book of John, man, it was such a wonderful lessons that we had in John. Ephesians 5. Now remember this 10. He said that he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And you are clean, but not all, okay? Ephesians 5, 25 and verse 26. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Why? Because that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the word by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. He's going to sanctify us and cleanse us with the washing of the word. That's how we stay clean. And it's important. I know it's been said over and over and over and over and over and over, but it's so important to know if you don't stay in the word, you get off track. And it's easy to get off track, out of step, however you want to look at it. It's so easy to be drawn away from the Lord. And everybody says, well, in this time, this day and age, but I'm sure it was the same in any age. Back then when this Bible was written, when these letters were written, still the same thing. 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2, and we're going to read verses 19 through 21. Well, in verse 15, it says this, Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Yeah. And it goes on down, it says, Shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker of who is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Verse 19, Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth or clay, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So this house, this great house, Christendom, okay? Vessels of gold and silver, but there's also wood and clay. And some to honor, some to dishonor. That's the trouble with Christendom. It's not true to form. It's not pure. Because they have left the word of God. They have turned to other things. Socializing, having a good time, whatever they do in their meetings. Have to stay in the word. The word has to be preached. The word has to be brought forth. We're all in the body of Christ, and we all should stay in the word as we abide one with another in Christ Jesus. Now the second condition is abiding, right? Now in Christ, Listen to this. Now in Christ, he takes all of our burdens, and we draw all wisdom, life, and strength from him. You agree with that? And it is not unceasing consciousness of these things and of him, but that nothing is allowed in this life which separates from him. So in other words, you do not want to be separated from him in this life or any other life. We want to be with Christ constantly. We want to be in fellowship with Jesus constantly, every step of the way in this life. Because I tell you what, if you don't walk with the Lord in this life, many people I know in my family, they will not see the other life. They will not have eternal life. They will have eternal death. And it's too bad to me. For me, I mean, it makes me sad that they do not want to accept Jesus. They do not want to be with him, fellowship with him, fellowship with our Father around Jesus. It's important. In John 17:23 says this. And the glory which, verse 22, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Well, let me go back up one. Verse 21, sorry. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved me, as thou hast loved me. Love them as thou hast loved me. So, I and him, you know, Father and Jesus are one. We are in Jesus. We are one with him. We are one with the Father. We are one with our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, 16 and 17 says this. Verse 14 says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Verse 16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, what is the length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. So faith, Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, being rooted and grounded in love, to know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's quite a scripture. And then I want to turn to Romans. Romans 12. Romans 12. Verses 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Well, let's go back to 36 of 4, of 11. For of him and through him and to him all are all things, to him be glory forever. Amen. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body is a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Yield. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Right? Important. And we'll drop down to verse 5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. We're all members in the body of Christ. It's all important that we abide with Christ and we abide one with another with our Lord Jesus Christ. He's our head. We are his body. It's important, very important. I was thinking earlier that the body of Christ, just think for a minute how large that is. All the believing saints that really follow the Lord, read his word, stay in fellowship with him daily through prayer and his word, maybe in songs also. Be a pretty big body, wouldn't it? Think of the body that's going to be when we all get to heaven and we're singing praises and glory unto him. Romans 8. And here's one thing, and the reason why I brought this out, Romans 8, 35 through 39. And you all know what it says. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a wonderful promise that is. And the last condition is going to be obedience. And I should have kept my place in John, back in John 15. Just going to read a verse here real fast. John 15. We read it already, but back in John 15 and 10 it says, if thy keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. It's all important. It's all entwined together, right? If you go back to Deuteronomy, and I'll just mention these, Deuteronomy 4:30 and 31 and 1 Samuel 15:22. These things talk about obedience way back in the Old Testament. And it was speaking to Israel, talking about them being obedient to the Lord. It says in Ephesians, and you can go read these because it's pretty good stuff. In Ephesians 5:1, it says this, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Verse 2 says, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. In verse 8, he says this in that chapter, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as the children of light. There are a lot of scriptures. You can go read this, study this yourself, go and look at some other scriptures, cross-reference your scriptures. There's so much about this. It was kind of a really pretty big subject. I remember when Earlene did it, she touched on it pretty really good. And we spent a long time in John. And I got a lot of stuff written down here that I'd written down also on my tablet, but there's too much to give in a half an hour. But I want to say one thing, Paul's epistles. Read Paul's epistles. Good admonition for all of us. Paul, good example. And he was one with our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to read one more verse, and I'm going to go to Philippians for this verse. kind of ran out of time, so I can't really read some of these other ones, but Philippians 1, chapter 1. I'm going to read two verses. He starts out, Paul, he says, "And this I pray. This I pray for you. This I pray for myself. I pray for saints everywhere." This is a good prayer right here. But also, it's a good one for us. "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment," or above and beyond, "that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ." And this is the key: "being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God." See, this is what I want. I'm sure everybody wants the same thing here: being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are only by Jesus Christ. We all want this. It's important. Back and read John 15. It talks about being fruitful, giving more fruit, being much fruit. It's all up to you how much fruit you want to have. Stay in the Word and ask the Lord. Ask the Holy Spirit to impart it to your heart. It's important. So important. And I don't know. I studied this for a while, and I'll tell you what, it was, at first I felt like it was kind of burned down with a little bit, because there's so much there, and I just couldn't give it all in this little bit of time. And, but the Lord gave me what he wanted me to have. So what he gave me, I love it, because it really meant a lot to me. And it encourages me, gives me strength, because I don't have any knowledge, really. I'm not a smart guy. But I do have knowledge in the Lord Jesus Christ right here. Here's all the knowledge you need right here. And the Holy Spirit will impart it to you. Even a simpleton, even a person that's not real educated, anybody can understand this word. You have to be willing. Jack used to say, yield, right? Yield in every little detail. Yes. And that's what it comes down to, every little detail. Not part detail, not part of the time. You can't be part-time Christian and be part-time something else. You have to go all the way with the Lord. And that's what he wants. Well, we're over time, so any comments or questions or anything?